Hello, everybody, and welcome to the first episode of Five and Out on oneofus.net. My name is Wes.
My name is Steve, and we are super, super excited to be on this website. We've got a brand new top five coming at you this week. It is our top five favorite childhood toys.
That is correct.
So without any further ado, let's start the show. Dude, I've got fruit flies in my house.
At your house?
At my house.
In your hair?
You know what it is?
What's that?
It is the superpower that we had mentioned before. It's honestly the annoying pseudo swarm, if you want to call it that, of four or five fruit flies. They're just in my fucking house, man. I kill three or four and there's still four or five. That's just how it is.
It's like the Hydra. You swat one and two rise up in its place.
I don't understand how fruit flies work. I really do not.
Well, let me explain it to you.
Honestly, please do.
They're annoying.
Yes.
And they go after fruit. They must think that you're very sweet.
There is one banana in my home that is maybe a little bit slightly past ripe.
Well, you should stop keeping it on you.
I keep it in my pocket.
What?
So when people say, is that a banana in your pocket? I was like, yes, it is.
Hey.
Idiot. Next to my boner. And I feel like, I mean, if fruit inherently has fruit flies in it, because I feel like that's how it works, where else do they come from?
In it? Like you peel the banana, just a swarm of fruit flies come out?
Okay, well, let me lay this out for you.
Okay, lay out some information.
Let me lay out this situation.
Okay.
Let's play process of elimination.
Okay, I like this.
We are in your apartment.
Okay, good so far.
Yep. We bring in a few items of fresh fruit.
Okay.
An apple and a banana or something.
A barrel of fruit.
A barrel of monkeys with fruit.
Okay, got it.
And then a few days later, there are now fruit flies in your apartment.
Hmm.
Somehow they are on the fruit in some way, shape, or form. They're parasitic passengers upon your fruits.
Well, Steve, this hypothetical situation does not work because, as we both know, my apartment does not have an east wall.
Damn you and your science.
Besides fruit flies, there's also sparrows. There's also eagles.
For some reason, there was a manatee by your bananas. I'm not sure why.
Oh, my neighbor just got a manatee launcher.
Seriously, though, how do fruit flies show up in your house? I really want to know.
I don't know. Through the cracks in the windows?
Why would they only...
Steve, you do live in a decrepit apartment.
I do not. I do, but it makes me feel like I do. Cause they just show up. And then I say, fine. If they're not on the fruit, cause they're probably not actually on the fruit, but where the fuck do they come from?
Dude, I don't under the door, over the door, around
no.
the door.
Then why don't they come in on the regular?
Are you saying that they hitch a ride on the fruit and then...
Honestly, I know it sounds ridiculous.
So once they get to their destination, like, freedom!
I'm not speaking on behalf of fruit flies.
Well, Steve, as an entomologist...
I'm asking for answers.
Okay, well, as an entomologist, let me tell you, you're absolutely correct.
Thank you.
Yes, you're welcome.
Now, so I guess the way to fix this is I just don't eat fruit.
Yes.
Or all canned fruit.
Okay, I'm kind of losing track right now because I'm desperately trying to think if entomologist is the correct word.
Yeah.
Let's go bugologist.
A biologist, I think.
Microbiologist.
That's it.
Yeah.
Fruit flies are very tiny.
They're very, very small.
Must be that. So despite my ongoing battle with four fruit flies, God, I hate them so... You know what? This is my curse for saying that'd be a superpower, to be able to put four fruit flies buzzing around someone's head at all times.
And that, you know, but it's not the worst superpower that could have happened to you. There could have been that 4x4 inch part of your body that's always wet.
Yeah, that and also, oh my God, I have to take a dump so bad. You get there and nothing happens.
The most depressing part of anyone's day.
By the way, if anyone is not sure what we are referencing right now, if you go back to one of our previous podcasts, which is actually my favorite podcast we've done, it is the moderately annoying superpowers.
I think it's a use of superpowers, and I believe it's number 25.
That's
but I'm
my
not
favorite
sure.
podcast we've ever done. So please go check that one out. That's a fun conversation starter with your friends.
And now we're on podcast, what, 65?
60.
We peaked very early.
Yeah, because now all we're doing is complaining about tiny fruit flies. But Last week, you got the Platinum Trophy in Far Cry 3.
That's correct.
So, this week, I beat Far Cry 3.
Jesus, how fast do you go through games?
I had already beaten 70% of the game.
I think you're lying to me just to make me feel better.
No, I had beaten quite a bit of it. So I went back and I beat it, and now I have to go platy it because you platied this one. And it's a platinumable game.
It's very platyable.
So, I need to work on that. But there's a couple of, you need to kill a dude in this fashion, and I've killed everybody on the island. So I need to find someone to kill him in said fashion.
There is a part on the map where that always has enemies. I don't know where that is, and if did, I'm not going to show you.
Absolutely not.
Steve, before we dive too much into what we're playing and what we're watching, I feel like we should, you know, let the cat out of the bag here. We sold out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're owned by fruit flies now.
That's right. But also, this is our first podcast on oneofus.net. Thank you so much, Brian, for letting us come on. We couldn't be more excited to be part of the oneofus.net family.
And we would also like to thank Grant from loungegeeks.com, where we are coming over from, for some crazy reason, letting us do this podcast on a week-to-week basis for many weeks.
That's right. When he told me that we were picked up, I was like, wait, are you sure?
You know we're dummies, right? We're big dummies. You're familiar?
We pretend to know what we're talking about, but we really don't.
And my friend thinks that fruit flies just are hitchhikers on bananas. You know that's what he thinks, right?
And I did just say the word bugologist, so... You're welcome. The weekly entertainment of us on Five and Out.
But we look forward to meeting some new listeners out there. So we'll give you the spiel later, as we do every week. But if you have any top fives in the future that you would like to hear us do, if you have any thoughts on the top five that we're doing this week, please write into us. Let us know. We always love to hear from you guys. And also, if we're fresh to you guys, as we mentioned, we've got a lot of previous podcasts to check out, so please check in the archives there and see what you've been missing.
That email is fiveplaynet@gmail.com, but we'll tell you again at the end. But anyway, so Steve.
Anywho.
Let us go on. What are you watching? What are you playing? What's going on? Tell me everything.
Right now, I've been working on the Far Cry. That's what I've been working on right now, and it's a good game, man. It's a real good game. It was also number, I think, 22 or something like that on Game Informer's top 25 games of the PS3.
Oh, it's super good, man. I'm really glad you liked it.
Yeah, I liked it. I liked it very much.
I think you said before, but why did you quit playing it before?
The only reason I quit playing it before is I had Redboxed it, and I gave it about 2 days, and I got really, really excited about doing those outposts. And I did some story, then I was like, I'll do 3 or 4 outposts. A little bit of story, 3 or 4 outposts. And I realized the game wasn't, I didn't want to rent it from Redbox for a week or whatever. It's like, it was during last summer and there was other, you know, summery things to do. So it's like, I'll just come back and play it later. And that's exactly what I did. So it took me about a year or so to get back on track, but I have now completed the game.
Well, I have been playing the Back to the Future adventure game series by Telltale.
How is it so far?
It is really good.
Yeah?
Yeah. I forgot how much I liked point-and-click adventure games. And playing it on a console, it's very interesting.
It's easy to forget you like that kind of game. It's because especially on console, as you mentioned, they're few and far between.
But this game, it plays to my strengths. Like, I like to walk around, look at everything, and this is how I got to be this way by, you know, playing King's Quest and all those Sierra games back in the day.
Sure.
That's how I came to play the way I do, and that's why you hate me when we play together.
That is correct.
And it's the total, like, adventure game tropes, like, to solve puzzles, you have to do these ridiculous things. Like, there's one point where you need a barrel. So you need to prop open a door, distract a dude, bang on a pipe, and then talk to a lady. And then suddenly, you have a barrel.
And then a barrel pops out of the ground.
That's right. But it's super good. Every episode ends with a ba ba da 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 da.
Ah, man.
And it's just that feeling of, yes.
Give me the top three things you want in your day-to-day life to be finished by ba ba da da ba ba ba.
Obviously.
Dumps.
That was going to be my number 2.
Oh, okay. Because that's obviously my number 1.
Oh, of course. But having sex with a girlfriend.
Yeah, it's good.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's like actually during sex, during the climax, or during the victory lap as you run around the house.
I think it's right at climax.
Yeah.
I think it's as you, however you choose to finish your evening in that regard, you in my regard, pull out and hop, bam, bam, da, 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 bam, bam. That would be great. There is actually an, I was about to say it's an ongoing joke, but really it's more of an ongoing threat between my wife and I. And the best part is that she thinks I've forgotten about this, but oh, I've not forgotten. I'm letting her think I forgot it so that I can pull it out in even more devastating effect.
My God, you're such a patient predator.
Sometimes it's worth the chase. And the ongoing quote unquote joke is that one day we are going to have sex, and as I climax, I'm going to say, "Boom, shakalaka!" In reference to one of my favorite video games of all time, NBA Jam. And I made this joke years ago to her, and she did not find it funny at all. She immediately gave me the, "If you ever do that." I don't even know what she said after that because I was laughing too hard.
Sure.
It was something to the effect of, "I will boop you, boop, mother, boop, don't you boop."
Well, now there's a piece of paper that says she can't leave you.
Can't do it.
If you do that.
Mm-mm.
So you're in the clear, my friend.
So in due time, madam, she will be boom shock-a-locked.
And then as you run around butt-ass naked with your victory lap.
As she's just crying. I've made a huge mistake.
Man, I need something like that to threaten my girlfriend.
Yeah, right? You know what? That makes a good relationship. Something you can hang over each other's heads, make them feel bad about themselves. That's good. That's the good stuff.
And that was this week's Relationship Advice Corner on 5 and Out. This has been Wes.
And I'm the worst husband in the world.
Oh, man. But besides Back to the Future, man, back to what we're watching and playing, I haven't been doing much else. Just that.
Yeah, it's been a couple weeks now that Holly and I have been undecided on the next show for us to watch.
Mm-hmm.
But we're going to go on a week-long little family vacation coming up. Just there's no time for that.
Sure, sure. Well, Steve, since you're going on vacation, what are you doing on vacation? Where are you going?
I'm going to...
So people can find you and finally take you out.
I have been evading this sniper fire for some time. I've lost 6 body doubles. We are going to the lovely Door County, Wisconsin.
Is that the county where doors were invented?
It is exactly right. And it's where every door in the world is produced.
Man, they are busy.
Busy, busy beavers in Door County.
There's been another doorway made in Nova Scotia. God damn it!
You know, if you hold your left hand up and you kind of tuck your thumb in that little thing that sticks out, it kind of looks like Wisconsin, the shape of Wisconsin. That the part where your thumb sticks out, that is Door County.
Got it.
It is far from Chicago. Oh, mm-hmm. Wisconsin. Wisconsin was an hour to Wisconsin. That's fine. It's 6 hours to Door County or something.
Oh, that's rough.
But this is not your typical sausage, cheese, beer, Wisconsin.
I thought you were going to say, this vacation won't be your typical sausage fest. There's going to be ladies there.
This isn't your typical family vacation where the women have to stay at home. Best husband ever. It's one of those, you know, classic tales where her family has been going here since... You know, her grandmother was a baby, that sort of, you have 80 mm-hmm. plus years, every single year of her life she's gone up here, that sort of deal. So I've been fortunate enough to go up for the last couple of years, and it's, her family is just super fun to hang out with. They're awesome. Just every day you just wake up, you have a Bloody Mary to start the day.
Oh my God.
Well, at least I do.
And everyone whispers to themselves about you.
Too bad I'm married into this family. Now, you wake up, you have a breakfast, you go out and you swim in the brisk lake water.
Sure, sure.
And then you go and play like shuffleboard with her, you know, the family, which actually sounds lame, but is super fun. And you go eat ice cream and play miniature golf and go swim on the raft or like play on the raft in the lake. And it's just good, good, clean family fun. And now we're old enough and married enough that we can drink and don't care what anyone else says. So.
Yeah, because for a while there, you were just kind of a little bit married.
I mean, we were kind of married.
Yeah, but now you're 100% married.
Locked down.
Locked down.
Forever.
She is the luckiest woman.
I feel bad for her. I'm the worst.
I mean, she had a many, many years to get out of it.
She did. She dug her own grave.
Really?
No one to blame but her and her. Yeah. And her. But yeah, so going to Door County and doing. Oh, by the way. We went there last year. It's weird. Oh, actually, her brother, my brother-in-law now, who is...
That's weird to say.
It is weird to say. And that's why I bring it up, because her two of her brothers, I'm very good friends with, and now they happen to be my brother-in-law. I guess that's what it is. But he was on the phone today, and he was talking to someone, my brother-in-law, and he said, like, it's like, yeah, I'm going to be staying over at my sister's house. Hold on, let me get the address from my brother-in-law. And I was like, I sound like a bad person. Like, I didn't even say anything bad about me. But the fact that I am now an in-law makes me sound bad.
Yeah, man.
It's just a negative connotation.
Yeah, because everyone hears about the horrible in-laws.
Yeah. I mean, if you were to say, if I feel like majority of people, if you were to hear, oh, yeah, my sister and my brother-in-law.
Be like, ooh, don't want to meet him.
Yeah, ooh, God. Jeez. So I'm sure your sister's fine, but whoa, that dude, watch out.
I heard that one night I stayed over and I heard the boom shakalaka come from the other room. I got so scared I ran outside and was immediately attacked by fruit flies.
Just, there was a bushel of bananas. God knows how many fruit flies. Those hitchhiking bastards. I mean, I feel like maybe part of the reason is that the term in-law, just every negative in-law story you ever hear gets associated with whether that is a brother-in-law, mother-in-law, son, you know, whatever in-law, it all gets kind of clumped together. I'm an excellent brother-in-law.
Yeah, that's interesting you say that, because I've heard people, you know, talk about their in-laws and they have to, you know, justify with like, oh no, they're okay.
Yeah, you have to qualify if they're good. You assume they're bad.
Mm-hmm.
You have to qualify. And I was not, true, he was not speaking to a good friend or anything on the phone. It was a business kind of thing where he has no reason to be like, yeah, let me talk to, I guess, my brother-in-law. He's all right. Don't worry. He didn't have to do that because they don't give a shit anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But it was the first time hearing it, and it was very uncomfortable for me.
Well, I'm really sorry you had to go through something like that.
Thank you.
It's a really rough life.
I'm just going to lay down. So for those who are new to the podcast, in case you haven't realized, I'm real new to this whole marriage game. It's about a month and a half in for me, so... I apologize for the distaste of the word wife, because it's just so hard for me to say right now. And goddamn fruit flies in my face! God!
Well, Steve, I hope you're freaking happy, because while you're having a good time in Door County, I'm going to be back here in Chicago. I am going to be seeing like a periodontist. I will be getting my annual physical.
What's a periodontist?
It's a dentist, but it's with a little bit of perio.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Oh, that's better for you, right?
Yeah, yeah. No, it's like a gum doctor.
A gum doctor?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even know the gums. I thought the dentist was kind of encompassing on the mouth region.
Oh, no, sir.
Friend.
Come on now. No,
man. What's wrong with your gums?
Let's get into it.
Yeah.
First episode on oneofus.net.
Let's get into the deep, grimy business that are your gums.
Well, come in close. Let me show you. No.
So there gross. Are maggots in your mouth!
That's where fruit flies come from!
They come from my mouth.
There's a couple of teeth that have a lot of receding gums on them. Like,
okay.
So, and it's to the point where, you know, it's...
You need Rogaine for your gums?
Yeah, pretty much.
Rogums?
I'm trying to think of all the technical terms that the dentists use, but I just sound like a dummy.
Yeah, no one's going to know those.
Yeah.
Because I just said Rogum.
But, yeah, I remember the first time I went to this dentist, and she saw that. She's like, oh, my God. Like, which is something that you really want to hear.
Honestly, on the all-time list of things you don't want to hear is a medical professional in any field say, "Oh my God."
Hey, Christy, come here. You got to take a look at this guy.
Bring the webcam.
But yeah, my, and a couple, I say two or three places around my mouth, the gums are receding a lot, like deep down into my mouth.
That sucks.
Yeah. And, oh, what's the word? Oh,
awful.
Yeah. No. And this is when I found out I had apparently been brushing my teeth wrong my entire life.
How? Okay. Before I you brush tell me it how
with,
to do it.
With the handle.
I brush them with the toilet brush.
That's right.
Before you tell me the right way to brush teeth, tell me how you have been brushing your teeth.
I have been brushing my teeth too hard.
Oh.
I didn't think I was. But apparently, you know, putting a modicum of muscle behind your tooth brushing kind of eats away at your gums.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, hey, learning moment, everybody.
There you go.
Be gentle on those babies.
Because I might need to get, let's get into it again. Let's get into it more.
A gum transplant?
A gum graft is what it's called.
Seriously?
Yeah.
For real?
For reals.
Oh. That sounds like the worst.
Not only does it sound, well, super expensive.
Yeah.
It sounds like I won't be able to eat much, if anything.
God.
I'll be living on applesauce. I'll be an old, like, a toothless man, pretty much.
At 29.
At 29.
And not just that. They're going to say, well, the only place we can get the skin for your gums is off your scrotum. So we need to cut into your scrotum.
Great. Now I have scrotum teeth. God damn.
Old Wesley scrotum teeth. Ladies, I have a great friend. You're going to love him. What's his name? Wesley Scrotum Teeth. What do you mean you don't want to meet him? You're going to love him.
Come on. He's got a scrotum for gum line. It's great.
And his balls are so tiny now.
I mean, they are packed in.
Manageable balls. Hairy gums. You're going to love him.
Oh, God. Disgusting.
So that's what I've been playing. A gum graft. Oh my God.
I mean, that's a possible outcome. I don't know what else. What is she going to sprinkle, like, Miracle-Gro, like manure on my teeth?
Did you just say manure?
Manure on my teeth and hopefully the gums grow. I don't know what else she can do.
That is the fanciest rendition of manure I've ever heard.
Sorry, let me go back. Thank you. Might spread shit on my teeth. Is that better?
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Now we can all understand. God, because I kind of feel like this dentist may be running a racket on your mouth.
What do you mean? I'm going to go into the periodontist's office. I'm going to be sold into human slavery?
I mean, you went in there for like a routine cleaning like a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, oh, no, we got to do this or that. We got to do this or that. And then
and this has got to go.
And then she told her quote-unquote periodontist friend, who we're not even sure if that's a real thing yet. It's like, no, this dude keeps paying. I keep telling him all this ridiculous, like, you brush your teeth too hard. And yeah, we're going to put your scrotum in your mouth. And he does it. Charge him whatever you want, man. Say you're some sort of weird doctor. It's fine.
I don't know, like a pear, the periodontist.
You're eating a pear right now.
Yeah.
So you're a periodontist.
Like, no, we gotta change the name just a bit.
Pterodactyl. You're a pterodactyl.
Brilliant.
Done.
Oh man. So I keep putting off making the appointment.
Well, yeah.
But it's,
no one wants their own scrotum in their mouth. Ladies and gentlemen, that has been your words of wisdom.
My God, Wes, do you have hypogonadism? No. I just got the whole scrotal oral treatment.
Scrotoral.
Scrotoral. Yep.
Yes, indeedy.
So that's why I like Back to the Future, the game.
Speaking of PlayStation Network, real quick.
Mm-hmm.
Last week we talked about how awesome the flash sales are on PlayStation Network and how you have no idea when the hell they're going on.
Mm-hmm.
And then today, you called and texted me to let me know it was not a flash sale, but a sweet sale nonetheless.
Yeah.
They're doing a superhero game sale So there was Infamous and like Lego Batman,
the new Spider-Man game, yeah. Injustice DLC.
And so for $8, I procured Lego Marvel something.
I think it's just Lego Marvel Superheroes.
Yeah. And that, I played the demo of that game. It is super fun.
I also, for $4, you can get the Lego Batman 2, which is, I think, just pretty much the same as Lego Marvel, but with Batman and all the DC people. So, that's awesome. And by the way, Sony, why aren't you sponsoring us yet?
Yeah, I mean, we're working on it. We're working on it. Is this going to be your first Lego game?
Yes, it is.
Oh, man. So excited for you.
Disclaimer, though, these prices are for PS Plus members.
Yes, correct. Correct. Because we are big, big supporters of the PlayStation Plus.
Sony, come on, man.
Baby.
We'll take your money.
Baby muffin.
We sold out once.
We got it.
We'll sell out again.
This man can't keep putting scrotums in his mouth for nothing. We need them sweet, sweet dollars.
That'll be $3,500.
What? I could have bought so many Lego Batman 2s. So many.
Well, sir, enough about scrotums on teeth.
I think we reached that a long time ago.
We got some top fives written in from last week's top five, which was...
Last week's top five was the top five acting performances, basically since 1990, and acting by men, actor performances.
Mm-hmm. Mark wrote in his top five, his number five was Christian Bale as Patrick Bateman in American Psycho.
Yeah, I definitely thought about that, too.
Mm-hmm.
The ending of that movie ruins it a little bit for me.
I can't even remember what happens. It's been so long.
It's not the best, but it's good movie overall, but...
Fair enough.
There are better, I feel.
His number four is Christopher Walken as Captain Koontz from Pulp Fiction.
Wow.
I know.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
He really did make a strong statement with only like 4 minutes of screen time or something on there.
Mm-hmm.
It's good. It is good.
His number three is Forrest Whitaker as Ghost Dog in Ghost Dog the Way of the Samurai.
Have you ever seen that?
Never seen it.
I've heard it's actually really good.
Really?
Yeah, which I have I've heard it so many times. I understand, but for a long time, I was like, oh, Ghost Dog, sure, that's going to be good.
I understand the words in your sentence.
Apparently, it's very good.
Yeah, I don't... Mm. His number two is Tony Todd as Ben from Night of the Living Dead remake. His number one is Robert Patrick as the T-1000 in Terminator 2.
How dare he? Because the correct response is the T-1000 as the T-1000 in Terminator 2.
And he says, at Steve, I dare you to watch the Double Dragon 1994 movie or From Dusk Till Dawn TV series, which he believes are both on Netflix, and I guarantee you won't think of Robert Patrick as the T-1000.
Guess what, Mark? Because here's a little spoiler for young Wes here. Our next Netflix review is going to be Double Dragon.
God damn it!
That's right, starring Mark Dacascos. Double Dragon.
Wait. Is this Capoeira's Mark Dacascos?
That is Capoeira's Mark Dacascos.
Mm-hmm.
And also the dude from Street Fighter the movie that plays Ken is the other brother in Double Dragon.
Oh, yeah. That guy. Everyone knows that guy.
Come on. You know that guy? I actually didn't. Had I known the T-1000 is in it, I would not watch it.
Too bad. Too late.
But it's too late. It's too late.
So
please check out this week's Netflix review of Failure to Launch and get ready for our next Netflix review, which will be Double Dragon the movie.
All right. Well, Duncan Parker Newton Gaines.
Duncan Parker Newton Gaines.
Duncan Parker Newton Gaines. First of all, he tells me that unfortunately There Will Be Blood is already off of Netflix, which sucks.
I feel like it'll probably come back.
Yeah, hopefully. But his top five was, the number five was Charlto Copley in District 9.
I love District 9.
That was a great movie.
Great movie.
His number four is Edward Norton in American History X.
Thank you.
His honorable mention, because we had it in the podcast, is Matthew McConaughey in Dallas Buyers Club. Thank you.
He's very good.
Mm-hmm. His number three is Kevin Spacey in American Beauty. Really good.
Yes, I love American Beauty as well.
His number two is Daniel Day-Lewis in There Will Be Blood.
Yep.
But the honorable mention, he says, is Philip Seymour Hoffman in Capote.
See, I disagree, I guess. I feel like that was a performance really talked up to me. I didn't really enjoy Capote that much as a film. I guess not to take away from his acting performance, I just didn't enjoy the film as a whole.
Well, surprise, surprise, I never saw it because I just don't see movies, apparently.
What do you know?
And his number one is Christoph Waltz in Inglourious Basterds.
Thank you.
Of course. His honorable mention is Clint Eastwood in Gran Torino.
Oh.
Yeah. How about that, Paul?
How about that, Paul?
I like it.
I mean, as...
I like him in Million Dollar Baby more, but him in Gran Torino is pretty great.
Clint Eastwood is kind of at that point as well, where Clint Eastwood is Clint Eastwood in movies.
That's true.
He doesn't really have characters. He just plays Clint Eastwood. This one, he's slightly more racist. This one, he's a little bit, you know, whatever. He's a little bit more angry about taxes, you know, whatever. But it's Clint Eastwood. He's...
Sure.
Again, you know what? Not to be the Debbie Downer, but here I go. Gran Torino was okay to me.
This will teach people to write in their top fives.
I'm so glad they write in. Mm-hmm. We have a difference of opinion. That's fantastic. Should be celebrated.
Sure.
Should be celebrated.
Of course.
He's good. He is good. Just, I feel like, Clint Eastwood is Clint Eastwood. Now, just like Harrison Ford now, he's just Harrison Ford and stuff. And so is, De Niro and Pacino. Like, these older actors now, they're just, we are who we are. We don't change it. This is what we do.
Yeah.
This is what we do.
This is the moneymaker right here.
But anyway, let us get into our top five for this week.
Which is?
You know, this is a little bit of a departure for us. We normally stick pretty close to the TV, video games, and movies list. Mm-hmm. But this was actually written in by several listeners, including Carlos and Michelle and a couple of others. So thank you very much for writing these in. We're going to do our top five childhood toys.
Yeah,
takes you back a little bit.
Yeah, it does.
Takes you back.
And looking back on him, I realized just how lame our toys were.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, I think very differently.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, let's give me your number five.
All right, my number five is Lame McLamerson. My number five is Jax. My number five is slap bracelets.
Well, that's crazy because my number five is Pogs.
Honestly, Pogs are the lamest.
They are the worst, aren't they?
They really are the lamest. There are many things you can look back and say, wow, that was dumb.
Yeah.
Pogs are at the top of that list, man. Little cardboard circles that you threw a circular metal piece at and hope you knock them over. God, they sucked.
Oh, man. Before we head into this top five, I know we just about did, so thank God we stopped. But before we do, I just want to mention that we need to revisit this one in the near future, and we need to get a girl on.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. We need to meet some girls and then have them on.
Well, you can do the first part.
Because I believe our lists will kind of be about the same, but I was thinking about childhood toys. I was like, man, a girl's perspective would be really interesting.
Well, let me tell you what's on theirs.
What's that?
Barbie, Barbie, Barbie. Barbies. And then Polly Pocket.
Man, Holly is the luckiest girl.
Barbie, Barbie, Barbie. Polly Pocket and an Easy Bake Oven.
And then boom, shakalaka.
And then boom, shakalaka.
Oh, I see.
By the way, do you know what the cooking element was in an Easy Bake Oven?
A 60-watt light bulb.
Yes, correct.
Because that's my number five.
Man, I got to tell you, I don't want to be eating brownies cooked on a light bulb. I feel like there are serious health considerations that need to be made there.
Well, son, I just made us some burgers. I cooked it over the lamp.
Like, honestly, it's like cooking a hamburger over an app on your cell phone. I just don't think it works. 'Cause don't you have to put eggs in brownies?
Yes.
Don't eggs have to be cooked at a certain temperature to remove salmonella?
But I think that the Easy Bake Oven worked. I think it was just a powdered mix and you mix it with water or milk or
yeah, but what happens
bourbon
when...
or something.
The new Easy Bake Oven.
For adults now.
It's just a homebrew. That's all.
It's just a bathtub.
Man, I still, because, okay, so maybe you run out of Easy Bake Oven powder. Mm-hmm. Like, oh no, I'll just use this Betty Crocker mix. What does it need? It needs some flour, some oil, an egg, and I was throwing the old Easy Bake.
Well, Steve, you've seen how tiny those cakes are. Do you think a whole egg could fit in there?
No, you don't put a whole egg in there.
I think you put the whole egg, shell and all.
You make, so like, I would imagine as a little girl, like, your mom is making brownies in a whole, you know, a bowl, mixing it, and you just take whatever it is, a third of a cup of it, to put it in your Easy Bake, and all of a sudden you kill all your friends with salmonella. That's what I'm thinking.
I don't think, first of all, a third of a cup. Have you seen how small those things are?
Yes, I know exactly how big a third of a cup is.
Well, have you seen how small the Easy Bake ovens are?
Yeah, I would say it's probably bigger than a third of a cup.
Well, I know that you do have one at home, so I'm not going to argue with you.
Okay, let's just realize that it is clearly a inferior second to the boys' version of Creepy Crawlers.
I was just going to say that.
Or should I say, Creepy Crawlers!
The lamest. And when I first got it,
what?
I thought it's the lamest. What do you do with them?
You make creepy, delicious crawler gummies.
But you don't eat them.
What do you mean you don't eat them?
Wait. Is there an edible Creepy Crawlers?
Yeah!
Oh! I think I'm thinking of the one where you just pour it in and just get like, plastic Creepy Crawlers.
No, yes, to be fair, that does suck.
Mm.
Creepy Crawlers later, you could make gummy Creepy Crawlers.
Okay, well that's cool.
Apparently I can't talk about gummy things without waving my hand around like I'm holding a Jell-O jiggler.
Thank you for animating that.
Creepy Crawlers, wave your hand like you're smoking an imaginary cigar in the 20s.
You know what's also even lamer? Those, I can't even remember. We should have ended on the top five lamest toys.
We should have, because this is just flowing. I'm sure we'll come
across. Finally, we have chemistry.
All right, we're going to go with my number five, though, for reals.
Okay.
And I'm going to go I feel like for most of mine, it is the broad topic of that, and then I go to a specific toy that I like.
Okay.
So G.I. Joe's is the broad topic. Specifically, the Snake Eyes G.I. Joe.
Are you talking about the miniature action figures or the 12-inchers?
Nope. No, I never had the big dudes. Mm-hmm. I always had the little dudes with the rubber bands on the inside.
Okay.
I've got two little childhood ditties for you about little action guys.
Really. Lay it on me.
Snake Eyes, by far, my favorite G.I. Joe. No doubt about it. No doubt about it. A super soldier ninja, done. Thank you very much. I didn't really, in my youth, I did not understand what held the G.I. Joes together and how they worked necessarily. So I thought, is this some sort of like super cool Snake Eyes spin punch? I would wind him up and then you go and defeat all of the cobras around him.
Mm-hmm.
I spun him too much and his arms and his legs and his head shot out because the rubber band on the inside snapped. And I screamed as a kid. I was like, Snake Eyes! No! I didn't know that would happen. And I was like, God, if only I had learned this on Sergeant Slaughter or, I mean, whoever the hell else, the Channing Tatum of G.I. Joes in that time. But it was my favorite G.I. Joe. And he exploded to defeat Cobra.
Wow.
Yeah.
I never had those tiny action figure ones.
Oh, never had little guys.
But I did have the 12-inchers. And they were cool because you could dress them up like Barbies. And
and then you go to your Easy Bake Oven.
That's great. They were cool because their arms and legs bent. Or so they told you.
Liars.
So when you go to, because of course you want to pose them with their plastic shitty machine gun that it came with.
I mean, it's like, awesome machine gun?
So naturally you don't want them holding it out, straight arm like a gangsta.
No.
No. You want to bend the elbows and hold it with both hands like a man.
Like the real American heroes.
Exactly. So you sit there and you try to bend the arm until it pops off in your hand.
Oh no.
Yeah, it fucking sucked.
Oh, it's terrible.
Yeah, it was bad.
You know what is also terrible? The G.I. Joe movies.
I have never seen them.
They are bad.
Mm.
Even if you were to pitch me the idea of, hey, we're going to do a two movie series based on these dudes. Say, oh, that's going to be bad.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's even worse than that. One more little ditty.
Okay.
I had a Batman little action figure, same size as a G.I. Joe, and he had one, like a grappling hook backpack thing that you put the hook on something and you could pull through the backpack and he would shoot up the line. And it was awesome. So we had this lamp on my desk that I'd play with, or it was on the desk that I would play on, I should say. It was the many a battleground, many a parking lot for various cars and whatnot. I threw Batman's grappling hook on the top of the lamp. I shot him up. The villains were looking where to get him at. And then all of a sudden, I had this horrible aroma in my nose. And I looked up to the lamp and saw smoke coming off the lamp. After I had launched Batman via his backpack grappling hook to the lamp, his face was laying on the light bulb. So I went and I pulled Batman off the light bulb, and it was like stringy cheese on a grilled cheese sandwich. It just pulled off. I was like, Batman! No!
Well, Steve, this just proves what I've always said. If you can cook Batman on a lamp, then you can cook burgers on a lamp. So next time I feed you my lamp burgers, I want you to shut your mouth and eat them because they're delicious.
And remember your traumatic childhood. Because I took such good care of my toys.
Mm-hmm.
Such good care. And unfortunately at number 5, two of my absolute favorite toys decimated.
Okay, my number 5. Let me ask you a question.
Please do.
When you were a small child, yes. Did you have a fascination with being dizzy?
God, no.
No?
Oh, my God.
Never?
I hate being dizzy.
I loved being dizzy. I went through a good, like, year or two period when I was, like, real little, like 4.
No.
When I just used to spin around until I was dizzy.
No, not me.
So my number 5 is the sit and spin.
Oh, God.
Which, for those of you who don't know, it's basically this circular thing that you can sit on. You can wrap – it's the circular disc, and it's a stationary, I guess, like, circular plate that shoots up in the middle of the disc. You can sit with your legs wrapped around the circular plate.
Like kind of Indian style.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And you can spin yourself around by using that stationary plate. And it's awesome, and it's so much fun. And it's really only to make you dizzy.
It's, God, what is that at the playground? What is it called?
The merry-go-round.
Yeah. Not a merry-go-round. Is it a merry-go-round?
Yeah.
Oh, I think it, yeah. So it's a merry-go-round for one,
I mean,
basically.
For you, it's probably the anger-go-round.
Yeah, it is the vomit and want to die go-round. Ready? Here's an embarrassing little, ditty for you.
Can't wait.
Talking about spinning. This is the moment I realized I never want to get dizzy and spin again. I was maybe 6 years old. I was on the teacup ride thing or whatever at the shitty carnivals that show up.
I love those!
I hate that. And let me finish this story to let me express why I hate them so much. My father took me to one on this, you know, just, it shows up in a little strip mall parking lot, you know, one of those little traveling carnival things. It's like, my dad's like, yeah, let's go, let's do one of these. And so we go on it. I'm wearing sweatpants because I'm 6 or 7 and that's what I wore.
Mm-hmm.
So we start going. You slowly spin. You start going around and then the spin increases and increases and increases. And I start bawling on the ride because I feel so sick. And as I'm going around the guy running the machine, I'm like, please stop the ride. And I pee in my pants. No exaggeration. Not saying this for funsies, because it's certainly not fun. I was so scared and, like, nauseous and whatever. I peed my pants. We got off. My dad's like, "That oh." It's like, I want to go home. My poor father thought he'd be doing a great dad duty taking me to this carnival, and I piss my pants and start crying. I don't like being dizzy, Wes.
Well, Steve, looks like I'm going to have to take back the sit and spin I got you for your birthday.
Awful.
because there was nothing better to my four-year-old brain than sitting down and being able to propel myself around and around and around, and then getting up and then just being dizzy and stumbling around. It was awesome.
And then peeing in my pants.
And then peeing in the pants, baby!
Yeah, so there you go, ladies and gentlemen. Steve peed his pants.
I mean, who didn't pee their pants when they were a small child? Or yeah. Were you a teenager?
I was 27. No, I was a wee little boy.
Wee little boy that went wee.
A wee little boy that went wee, 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 until my daddy took me home. My number four. You know what? I'm gonna speak, I think, for some of the ladies on the list. And you know what? Again, we're going embarrassing childhood stories. Fine,
okay,
whatever.
Okay.
I loved me some stuffed animals as a kid.
Sure.
Loved them. I had way too many stuffed animals for a little kid, for a little boy. Way too many. But specifically, the very first toy I was, or stuffed animal, the first thing I was ever given as a child was from my Aunt Noreen, and it was a little baby elephant stuffed animal.
For those of you at home, I just spilled all over myself.
Because this story is so goddamn adorable, I didn't know what to do. This little tiny baby elephant. So when I was a kid, I used to rub the back of its head with my thumb, and I used to chew like on the trunk. When I was teething, I would chew on the trunk. So I still have this little tiny baby elephant toy, and my mom had to like rewrap the trunk with yarn or like some sort of fabric, and the back of the
barbed
head,
wire.
Barbed wire.
Yeah.
So she's like, "God, stop putting this in your mouth." And then the back of the head is worn down to nothing. It is
gone. Oh my God.
It is this dilapidated looking little toy, and it is the most important thing from my childhood that I could possibly have. But stuffed animals in general were awesome to me.
Yeah.
But specifically, Baby the Elephant.
Oh, sure, man. I used to have a stuffed monkey that my great grandma made for me. She actually knitted for me. And it went with me everywhere for much longer than it should have been. Like, till I was like 6 or 7 years old.
You know what? Sorry. One little quick ditty about stuffed animals for you. Keep in mind, this story comes from the kid that just a few years previous peed his pants.
Yeah. Okay.
Have you ever seen the movie, it's either Firebirds or Firehawks, something like that?
No, neither of them.
It's like 1990 or something. It's a Nicolas Cage movie. It's basically Top Gun, but with helicopter pilots instead of fighter pilots, basically. Mm-hmm. So I was in second grade, and I invited this girl over to my house, Gina, to play stuffed animals. She lived around the corner from me. And I had just seen this movie with my stepbrothers. So little second grade Steve, just a few years previous peeing his pants, decides to employ the move from the movie to steal a kiss from this girl. We are sitting on my bed in my room playing stuffed animals, and I make her stand up, put her arms out in kind of like a cross fashion, and you say something like, "Close your eyes." It's something in the movie about like, yeah, this is what flying feels like. You feel the breeze and blah, blah, blah. It's some stupid, awful thing in the movie. All 8-year-old Steve says, "Put your arms out." Yeah. And I come up and I hug her and I kiss her right on the lips.
Yeah, you did. Up top.
Yeah.
Woo!
And I dated that girl for a year.
Yeah, you did.
Second grade, whatever the hell that means.
Oh, man.
But man, I totally kissed a girl in second grade.
So, dude, how was the kiss?
Amazing.
Oh, my God.
Amazing.
Oh, God. Okay, anyway.
So, yeah. So, just saying, gentlemen, if you're looking for a way to get that first...
To get that second grade girl that you've been eyeing.
If you're looking for a way to get that first kiss, that oh-so-elusive first kiss, look Nicolas Cage for either Firehawks, Firebirds, something along those lines. It is just it's a tutorial. It's a Nicolas Cage tutorial on how to get kisses.
So did you play with that that elephant on that day?
Oh, no.
No.
I was an adult that day. There was no time. I was trying to do baby, my elephant, proud.
Sure.
Like, baby, look how far I've come. I'm going to kiss this girl. Now you watch. Let me set you up. Let me set you up on the dresser here so you can watch me kiss this girl. And I did.
Nicely done.
Thank you.
So what was your number four again?
Stuffed animals.
Yeah.
In general.
Just in general?
They're little, I mean, for boys, maybe you don't want to admit it, but I don't care. I had a ton of stuffed animals.
I had some stuffed animals. Got that stuffed monkey. Loved it.
All right. All right.
My number four, it's a little bit manlier. It's a gun. No. Well, more accurately, it's a super soaker.
It's a pocket vagina.
It was the super soaker.
Oh, yeah, yeah, dude.
And I'm talking about the first one. Not
What was the color of the one you're talking about?
The yellow one.
Yellowish-greenish one?
Yellowish-greenish with a green tank.
That's 50, right? Was the super soaker 50?
Sure.
Or 150?
I think it was the... I can't remember. I think it was the first one ever before they started making, like, the WMDs of super soakers.
A.K.A. a hose.
I know. But yeah, man. I mean,
it's a good pull. I like that.
As a young boy, you see all these action movies, all the guns and stuff. Of course, you don't want to play with actual guns because that's scary.
No.
But with water guns,
yeah.
Hell yeah. And I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe that super soakers were the first water guns that had any water pressure behind them.
Yeah, besides just the little individual, like, pss, pss, pss,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Pss, pss.
Where you can actually play super soakers across the yard instead of, like, in a 3-foot proximity with each other.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, normally they're just, here's a little white.
Come closer.
Oh, boy, you're slightly moist. And the super soaker, aptly named, it's like, oh, my God. I need to change my clothes. My mom's going to be so mad.
And there was nothing more satisfying than pumping that shit up until you could barely pump it anymore. Yep. Your muscles were straining. And as you were like, get that final pump, you made eye contact with the guy across the yard and be like, I'm coming.
You know what? I just realized that the one you're talking about, and I wish I knew the number. It's the one or the 150 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that is your standard issue super soaker.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of how I play video games and stuff now where you get these other super weapons and rocket launchers and this. And to me, those are the other super soakers. Like, yeah, fine.
Yeah, whatever.
You can turn the angle of where you shoot the gun.
Sure.
Fine. I will take this super soaker and I will own you. With this super soaker.
Exactly.
Because whatever the standard issue gun is in whatever game I'm playing, that's pretty much what I use the whole time.
Yeah, me too.
Occasionally, I'll switch for specific purposes.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like the dudes that are wearing the backpack super soaker, get out of here. You're
get
just big
here with that.
You're big and you're slow.
Mm-hmm.
And I can shoot you in the tank and make you explode.
They're the heavies.
Mm-hmm. Don't want them.
No.
Don't want them.
Get out of here.
And then the guys with the smaller ones are like, I'm going to use two of them, be like pistol. Like, I don't care.
Get out of here.
I've got the right gun for the job.
You know, and the ones with like the sight on them, the optical red lasered sight.
No,
get out of
here. Oh, dude, do you remember the ones that it was mounted? They're real tiny. They were like on the side of your head and they were voice activated.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
Are we talking Super Soaker
still? It was not made by Super Soaker, but it was... And again, this was the super nerdy kid that's parents have a ton of money that bought them this thing.
Because
it could only fire, I don't know, 4 feet in front of him or something, 3 feet. So it's basically a knife on your head. It's a water knife on your head. And it had this little optical thing that came over your eye and this little thing like kind of over your ear.
I think I remember
this.
And
it had a microphone and you would basically be like, fire! And it'd be like... As it would just be like, water. It's like, it honestly had the strength of a dog's urine. That's really what it had. If you think of a dog lifting its leg, it'd be like, it was shooting off the side of your head. I think it was called the Urinator 2000.
I think so. I never had that. No.
There was a kid in the neighborhood next to mine that was the rich neighborhood. I was not in the rich neighborhood. And he had one of those. And it was the most classic, like, fire! And it, like, landed on my shoe. And I have my fully pumped super soaker, like, blah! Right in the old kisser!
That's when he actually physically struck him with the super soaker.
I did. I used my super soaker bayonet.
Now you're wet because you're bleeding.
Here, let me rinse your wound off for you. Super soaker.
Dirty
man.
Lake water.
Good stuff. Good stuff.
Yeah, man. That's my number four.
Okay. Well, going in a similar vein, my number... Oh, wait. Yeah, my number three. Excuse me. My number three is Nerf guns in general.
Ah, yes. That was good.
But I mean, picking your favorite Nerf gun, that's very different from the Super Soaker.
Sure.
Because there's... Each one of those had a real function.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to say except the bow and arrow, but the bow and arrow, that was cool. Do you remember the Nerf bow and arrow?
No, I don't.
Oh, dude.
Man.
Nerf bow and arrow. Real deal.
Interesting.
And I feel like that's one of the first Nerf things they had was the Nerf bow and arrow.
Okay.
It's awesome.
Now, when you say Nerf guns, I'm thinking those little plastic darts, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. And the bow and arrow, the arrow, if you will, is... It wouldn't fit in one of those guns. It's much bigger.
Mm-hmm.
But that's why when it hits you, it went like... It's made this like thump. But the Nerf bow and arrow was great. But the one that specifically comes to my mind, they've... You know, Nerf guns basically never change. They're kind of the same thing, just look a little bit different as the years go.
Sure.
In my time, it was called Eagle Eye.
Okay.
And it was the Nerf gun with a laser sight. So you would pull the trigger about halfway... And then there would be a, you know, the little red reticle that would show up against the wall,
awesome.
Sort of deal. And then you'd finish pulling the trigger and you would launch the dart. And as a kid, my mom was downstairs in the basement watching a movie and I came just down the stairs and I creeped around the corner and I lined up my reticle right in front of her face where she was watching, not on her face.
Yeah.
But so it would be like a shot across the bow, sure. sort of deal. And I shot and it went an inch from my mother's nose as she was from her left to right
mm-hmm.
as she's watching a movie. And she just jumped and, and I was like, yeah, you had no idea I was here.
Okay. Did she pee your pants?
She peed her pants.
Oh my God.
I'm not invited to Christmas this year because I just told you that.
Oh no.
But she totally peed her pants.
Man, that's awesome.
And you know what? I still love Nerf guns. And at my house, I have at minimum 6 Nerf guns right now.
Because let's pull the curtain back a bit. Every now and then we still like to have some Nerf gun fights.
Absolutely, man. Mm-hmm. And you know what? Here's something for the listeners out there. There are so many drinking games that can incorporate Nerf guns.
Name one.
Russian roulette. Let me run you through the rules in this real quick because it's super duper fun. Find the Nerf gun that is like the rotating barrel, like a revolver Nerf gun.
Mm-hmm.
There's usually about 6 bullets available in there. What you do, you just put one in there. You spin it so no one can see it. You cock the thing back, and it's you have a deck of cards. You flip one card out and basically, you can kind of you can make the rules up at this point as you go.
Mm-hmm.
You guess a number, blah blah blah, whatever it is. What happens is, it goes around the table, and people have to shoot themselves in the head, like the end of the Deer Hunter, with the Nerf gun. And if you shoot and it doesn't shoot you, you pass it to the next person. They cock it, they shoot. Next person, they cock it, they shoot. And whoever gets shot in the head with the Nerf gun, it slightly hurts just a tiny little bit.
Just a bit.
And then you have to drink the whatever number of shots. There's a lot of rules you can modify with it. It is super duper fun. I highly recommend doing it.
Because Russian roulette would be a super suspenseful game. Well, it is a super
suspenseful. It is super suspenseful.
Yes.
It's life and death, it's super suspenseful.
Yes, yes. What was my point?
But when it is with shots or drinks of a beer, it's even more suspenseful.
So yeah, man, that's, just one of many Nerf games, drinking or none.
You know what?
You can play out there.
I think there's a top 5 coming down the road. Top 5 drinking games that nobody's playing. Basically, the top 5 drinking games we've come up with.
Okay. Sounds good.
I'll tell you my number one right now. Suspense. Sorry. Air is out of this bag here.
Mm-hmm.
My number one is Russian roulette. I'll get into details more specific. It's super fun.
Okay. So your number 3 was?
Nerf guns in general.
All right. So my number 3. Stay with me here. It's Beanie Babies.
Whoa.
I know. Not just to have and to own and for it to someday be worth a ton of money.
To
right?
pay for your retirement.
That's right. No. Okay. So I talked about it before. As a child, I was super into professional wrestling. We're talking Hulk Hogan, Undertaker, Jake the Snake, you know, that type of wrestling. And I used to have those mini wrestling figures, even had the plastic ring that they could wrestle in. I would take that ring, throw away the wrestling figures, I'd use Beanie Babies.
Ah, man. I was going to say Beanie Babies are super lame, but this is a real good setup for Beanie Babies.
Because with those wrestler figures, they're just hard plastic, and the arms move, and that's it.
Yeah.
But with Beanie Babies, I mean, they're stuffed animals. They're super floppy stuffed animals. And there's nothing more exciting than giving that stupid purple bunny a power bomb from the lion Beanie Baby.
God, that sounds awesome.
Yeah. And with the ring, with the plastic ring, they could come off the ropes. They could jump off the top rope. Man, it was a blast.
I bet.
Yeah. God. I used to have, like, this is a little story from my childhood. I was super into, I used to super a lot as an intensifier.
Super is better than saying fucking.
That's very true.
It's true.
Yes.
Especially when talking about childhood memories and toys.
That's right.
Beanie Babies are fucking awesome.
Yeah, so I was really big into the Royal Rumble.
Sure.
It's a lot of fun. So I used to get all my Beanie Babies on the bed, and then I'd have my own little Royal Rumble with the Beanie Babies.
So did you do Royal Rumble? Was your bed the ring?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you forewent the actual ring and just it made it a bigger ring with the bed.
Because I had an embarrassing amount of Beanie Babies.
How many are we talking?
Oh, good. At least a good three or four dozen.
Okay.
I mean, for the longest time, my grandma on my dad's side, just every time chance she got, she'd buy like garbage bags full of Beanie Babies and give it to all her grandkids.
Did you have any Beanie Babies that at the time were very valuable?
I had, I think there was one called Heart, where it was like a white teddy bear, but had a red heart on it.
Yes, I do know that one you're talking about.
And I powerbombed the shit out of that guy so many times.
I literally cut its heart off.
That's right.
When The Undertaker met it at the finale of WrestleMania.
Love conquers all, Heart. DDT!
DDT! Rip out your heart! Eat it!
So that's why my number three was Beanie Babies. Not for what they were, but for what I did with them.
That's a very nice take on something I thought was going to be real lame. That's real good.
It was awesome.
I like that very much.
Mm-hmm.
All right. You know what? I should have put this. I just want to do a quick honorable mention real quick. As things that were going to pay for your retirement.
Mm-hmm.
I collected baseball cards and basketball cards when I was a kid. And I spent so much money. No, I didn't. I spent so much of my mother's money on those things and the protective cases and the binders and the sleeves and the boxes and blah, 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 blah. All this stuff. Honestly, I have every single card I've ever had. It's at my mother's house in a plastic Tupperware thing.
Mm-hmm.
I've got thousands of those cards. The entirety of what I own, I'd be lucky if I got $50 for it. I bet. Something in that vicinity.
Yeah.
And at the time, I was like, oh my God, a Shaquille O'Neal rookie card. This is going to pay for a vacation somewhere down the line. Nope.
Definitely not.
Nope. Oh my God. But I did, with that being said, I absolutely loved collecting them at the time.
Sure.
And trading with my friends. And actually, it was a very important lesson on how trading works and how when you have something that someone else wants, how you can, you know, parlay that into more than they're willing to give up. Very, very important early lessons in life.
Well, sure. And when you were a kid, like comparing your baseball card / basketball, whatever, collections with each other is the child version
of
measuring dicks.
Yep, yeah. It's a dick measuring competition.
It definitely is.
Well, I've got, but then it's like, well, I've got 482 of the 502 cards in this collection. Yeah. Well, I've got 15 of the cards you're missing. So you're going to fucking pay up, Johnny. We're not doing a 15 for 15 trade, sir.
Mm-mm.
No, no, friend. I know you want to complete this, baby.
It's supply and demand, my friend. You're demanding. And I got the only supply.
Exactly. So I learned some valuable business lessons as a youth.
Sure.
But my number two is it's not Hot Wheels cars. It's Matchbox cars.
Okay.
I specifically prefer Matchbox. I'll tell you why. Because the wheels rolled better on Matchbox cars.
Sure.
And also, I think Matchbox cars, the cars were a little bit more realistic, whereas Hot Wheels were ridiculous things. Like, it's a snowmobile on top of an ice cream truck with a monster truck wheels. Like, that's just ridiculous, Hot Wheels.
Get out of here.
That is ridiculous. I would buy ice cream from that any day, but it's not real. And I had hundreds, not just of Matchbox, but also of Hot Wheels as well. And my mom had bought me, as a youth, one of those big mats that you put down that were roads and towns and that sort of thing. So you had this little kind of living city that you drove your cars through and stuff. And I can't even imagine the hours I spent just playing Cars.
Sure.
And then, but I was, very rarely did I mix in like a G.I. Joe with a Hot Wheel and G.I. Joe's played with other action figures. The Hot Wheels were with Hot Wheels / Matchbox. They did not necessarily intertwine.
Sure. We're not running a chaos vortex here.
No. But I've always had a love for cars, and I think that love comes from Matchbox specifically, with a little bit of Hot Wheels love in there as well. I mean, I just love cars.
I had that same thing. The love of cars didn't transfer over to my adult life at all.
No.
But I had at least a coffee can full of cars. I used to...
A coffee can?
Yeah, I used to keep my cars in a coffee can.
Oh, sir.
Sorry,
we're not... You know, you are a high school team, a high school baseball team of Hot Wheels / Matchbox cars. I am the New York Yankees of Hot Wheels / Matchbox cars. Those big 20-gallon Rubbermaid tubs that are about the size of a that are taller than a standard coffee table.
Sure.
I had probably 3 of those.
Oh my god.
Filled with these.
I don't think I'm even the high school team. I think I'm the T-ball
team.
Your
T-ball team. I would put my car, I had like tractor trailers with flatbeds behind them.
Sure.
That I would put cars in and bring them to my fictional car dealership that they would then roll out and be in races. I mean, it was the town that it was the, like, I had this mat on the floor. I had the desk next to it and something else and another table. Those were basically like the Beverly Hills to the town and this whole landscape, and the nicer cars went up to the Beverly Hills, mm-hmm. and the cars are a little bit more beat up. I had this car that you would, if you hit the side of it, the door flipped around and it became like a dented door.
Oh my god.
So that was like the shitty guy's car. I made up all these backstories for these people as they drove around. The one guy's like, I'm just going from the parking lot to work. From the parking lot to work. I loved my toy cars. I loved them.
All right. Your car dick is a lot bigger than mine.
It is enormous.
All right. Well, my number 2 is, I'm not sure what the official name of this toy is. My cousins and I used to play with these big, hard...
You're really digging yourself a hole here.
Mm-hmm, yep. cylindrical.
Yep.
Yep. Oh, boy. And it even had like a large section at the end that was larger than the rest of the
what
shaft,
are you,
if you will.
What?
We're playing with dicks.
No, I mean, are you trying to tell us about a horrible, horrible dark memory?
We played with these like humongous darts that you could throw at each other, and they had like Velcro shields.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
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 So they were big and heavy, so you could like whip them at each other.
Yeah.
And they would hurt.
Yeah.
So we used to either play outside or in the winter, much to my grandmother's anger.
Sure.
We used to play inside. And what we'd do is we'd like, we had a couple bedrooms that were separated only by a door from Door County, I assume.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, where else would a door come from?
And so we would have like, there'd be 2-on-1 all the time. And we'd have like wars where we'd be hiding behind the bed and like, okay, I'm going to distract her. And then you take her out, like with the dart.
Dart her in the face.
Dart her in the face. And then we, you know, we broke windows.
Of course.
We punched holes in the wall.
All the priceless heirlooms that were going to be passed down to you and actually pay for your retirement.
Exactly. Man, we caused so much destruction, but God damn, was that a good time.
You know, there was, kind of along with the Nerf gun, there was, cause talking about like epic indoor battles that that drove parents insane. There was Super Soaker had this kind of spin-off dart gun thing that they made. So two friends and myself, we got one of those as well, and we had the same thing inside the house. It was like, okay, man, you do this, we're gonna come around, and it always, always hurt our parents. God damn it, Chris! You know, like, and we're like, I'm sorry. Can Chris stay for dinner? Fine!
But these were awesome. These were, better than Super Soakers, better than Nerf guns, because if it one hit you, it hurt.
You know what? There's an important lesson to be learned there. Yeah. There are repercussions to be paid.
That's right.
Wow. I have no idea what those things are called.
Neither do I. Just darts with the Velcro shields.
They're like legal lawn darts in a way. Because at first I thought you were saying lawn darts, and then you said we threw them at each other.
Mm-hmm.
So you are so lucky to be alive. I do know what you're talking about. God, and those things, you know what? To be fair, I was going to say those things did hurt. That's a lie. I never played with them.
Man.
Because I was a gun man. I liked guns over, you're more of a Spartan.
I like thrown projectiles.
You do. Mm-hmm. You do. Indeed.
But nothing was more satisfying than either A, hitting the other person, hearing them go, oh, shit! And B, catching one on the shield.
Oh,
then,
yeah.
And then tearing it up and throwing it immediately back
right
to the other
back
person.
At him. What would you say in your highly skewed several year later revisionist history? What would you say your hit / being hit ratio was?
Remember, these are small children playing this.
I know. I'm not saying it's representative of what you would do now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying at that time, were you dishing out more punishment than you were taking?
I think it was about the same, honestly. To get a hit was very rare, because we rarely came out from under that bed.
So. You were a turtle.
Basically.
Yep, you hid under the bed, and all you could see was your face, and then you just covered it with a shield.
I'm sorry, I misspoke. Behind the bed, not under that bed. Steve, you can't get any arm movement under the bed.
I thought you were going pure defense.
No.
Maybe you were trying to get all of the darts thrown at you so that you could attack with no fear of repercussions, perhaps.
Well, that's smart.
It would have been, smart.
Yeah.
That is assuming they're dumb enough to throw everything at you.
Sure. But I would say about half and half.
You know, if you were to ask me to say, I've never even played this game, I would immediately say, oh, I killed them. I was hit maybe 3 times my whole life.
And now they're brain damaged.
They're dead. They're dead from Velcro darts. That's how good I was at that game. They're dead.
God rest their souls.
May God have mercy on their souls. Now, it's before I get to my number one, I just want to reflect just for a moment. This is really only for one inanimate object and nobody else in this world. So just bear with me for one moment.
Okay.
I mentioned that Matchbox cars were one of my favorite toys of all time. I know the exact specific favorite Matchbox car I've ever had in my entire life.
Okay.
And every once in a while, maybe like twice a year, I just have a quick vision of that car popping into my mind, and it makes me real happy.
That's very sweet, Steve.
It is very sweet.
Yes.
You know what it is? And I don't like your goddamn attitude.
I don't like your patronizing tone. It's pronounced patronizing.
I'm just saying I really took very good care of my toys, because before the movie Toy Story came out.
Except if you're Batman.
Except for Batman, man. Batman, man.
Batman, man.
Batman, man. And that was I honestly still to this day feel bad about it. I'm probably going to have to go to therapy in about 20 years. Then I burned Batman's face. He never forgave me.
And how do you feel about that?
Oh!
That'll be $600.
I always thought my toys had personalities and, like, just like Toy Story. Before Toy Story came out.
Sure.
So, billion-dollar idea. Movie about toys coming to life with real personalities. I always thought they had personalities and feelings and that sort of thing. So I always took as best care I possibly could of my toys, because I wanted to treat them well.
Sure.
They wouldn't be mad at me and they'd have a good life.
Yeah.
That sort of thing. Except, obviously, for Batman, who can fuck himself.
All right.
Anyway, with that tangent, my number one, I honestly feel like if there's any young man out there that has a different number one than me, they better have a goddamn good defense, because this should be the universal number one. And my number one is Legos, without a doubt, Legos. Number one, I don't even need to explain it. And by the look on your face, Wes, we do not share the same number one.
No.
You've made an enormous mistake. Legos obviously are the greatest toy ever.
My main problem with Legos...
if it isn't stepping on them, you better be careful.
That sucked. That did suck. But once two plus Legos are together, you're never getting them apart.
What are you talking about?
What are you talking about?
You didn't have the tool that took Legos apart?
There was a tool?
There was a tool!
What? No, I never had that!
There was a little gray handle thing you could buy... For when, like, when you had a 2x2 brick, two 2x2 bricks on top of each other,
yeah,
that were very tough to get apart, it clips into the top. It has a, so on this little handle thing, it's got two nubs, if you will, like receptacles for two nubs. Pop that in, and then it works just like a bottle opener. You pull it down, and it breaks the two apart.
Well, that would have been amazing to
have. It is amazing.
Well, that's why I didn't even make my list, because once you put two together, they're super glued together for life.
And that was a 1 out of 10 thing.
No, it wasn't.
Absolutely.
If you... Okay, come on.
Did you use glue?
Yes.
That's your fault.
Oh, no. You put two red rectangular blocks together. You need to put all of your strength behind it to get those two things apart.
How weak did those Beanie Babies make you? My God,
obviously,
sir.
Pretty weak.
Unbelievable.
And God, get out of town with those skinny bricks. Oh my God, they are staying together for life.
I mean, every once in a while you've got a stubborn brick here and there, but that's why you get the tool.
I didn't know, this is before the internet, Steve. I didn't know that tool existed.
Yeah, I got it through Lego magazine thing.
You subscribe to Lego magazine?
Yeah.
Okay. Good for you. I didn't know that.
Go to Lego Mag. They were still available.
I didn't know it existed.
You know what? If there has ever been a better case to not live in a small town like Wes grew up in, I mean, this is it. This is the case why you want to be around civilization. So your kids can have, you know, a childhood.
See, I played with stuff like Kinects and the
Kinects suck.
But at least you could get them apart.
Because you never want to put them together. Because they suck.
They did not suck.
They absolutely suck.
With Kinects, you could have built a working vehicle. You could build a working amusement park ride.
Oh, like Legos and plus everything else?
What are you talking about?
What are you talking about?
You cannot build a working roller coaster with Legos.
Absolutely, with Lego Technics.
What?
Technics.
What is this?
Are you, honestly, this is for real. Are you fucking serious?
I am not, I am, yes, sorry, I am serious.
You have no idea what Lego Technics are.
No, I
are
don't.
Are you, oh my God.
Here's all the Lego things I know. The big Lego bucket.
Big
bucket of Legos. And it comes with an instruction booklet of all the bullshit you can put together and never take apart again.
Like a fucking tree. Oh my God.
And,
are you serious?
Yes. And those specialty boxes where you can build like a Death Star or something. I was like, great. I can build a Death Star and I could just look at this Death Star and never take it apart again.
Oh my God.
What?
Lego Technics.
Steve, we didn't have electricity where I grew up.
You need them. Legos don't need electricity. Lego Technics was like basically the advanced model Legos. So instead of building a race car that was, you know, 15 blocks, like square block, one of the long flat pieces for the axle, long flat piece. Here's the little thing you stick the wheels on. And here's the little tiny steering wheel piece that goes on top. Instead of those, Lego Technics was basically like gears and rotors and stuff. And on top of pieces that you could stick axles through, actual axles and things like that, that make working mechanical things. So you could make an F1 car where you would turn the steering wheel and it would actually turn the wheels like a front suspension on an actual car.
Well, that sounds awesome.
It is awesome.
But I never had that. Never knew it existed.
With Lego Technics, honestly, you can build anything. And instead of a Ferris wheel that you would make with Kinex that looks like a thing made out of toothpicks. Oh, look at this. It's made out of toothpicks and gum. Look at these little plastic people go around. With Lego Technics, you could make an actual Ferris wheel that you could probably sit in. You could make it that big and that immaculate, and you could add motorized parts to it to make it work on its own.
Sure.
But yeah, again, sure.
I didn't know it existed.
God. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry for you.
Hey, man. It's okay. If I had all a rough childhood.
If all you knew was the bucket and then one or two...
like specialty sets?
Yeah. If you didn't know about the city set... The Star Wars sets, the pirate sets, the deep sea sets, the space sets, the more accurate space sets.
But I did know about those. And yeah, those were cool. But again, I shoot back to my earlier premise of, I never knew there was that little staple remover thing that you could use to get them apart.
Yeah, but even if you bought, I guess if you can't get them apart because of your weak little beanie baby hands. Even because I bought my favorite set ever that I got. My dad bought me the fireboat.
Mm-hmm.
And I never used it. I used it one time in the bathtub. I was like, this sucks. If I had a swimming pool or something, it would have been cool. But then the best part of Lego sets, you build it the way it's supposed to be built originally. You play with it for a little bit. And then you start making it something completely different than what it's supposed to be. My fireboat turned into basically a Death Star spaceship with it had 12 sets of wings and guns, and the fire hose was just some sort of plasma laser thing, and it was amazing.
Well, that sounds like a blast.
Yes.
Wish I knew about it.
God, I'm honestly, I'm not even mad. I'm so sorry for you.
I know, it's okay.
Well, with that being said, what is your pathetic number one?
It's my number one. I'm surprised it's not your number one. It's bouncy balls. Like super balls.
No, I'm not surprised. What? Legos are so much better than bouncy balls.
Oh, come on. There is nothing more fun than throwing a ball against a wall and catching it.
Actually, I had as an honorable mention, I just had balls in general.
Sure.
Not human testicles, but just, I mean, balls are probably the best thing there are.
Yeah.
But that's a grandiose statement.
Sure.
Balls are very all-encompassing.
Sure, but just like whipping it as hard as you can in a room filled with many hard surfaces and trying to get it,
that was
a blast.
Yeah, but talking about parents yelling at you, how many rooms fully enclosed, it's not like you lived in a racquetball court where you could just whip the ball around and not break anything.
Mm-hmm.
It's always off a garage or off a something that's going to lead you to trouble somewhere down the line.
Sure, but it was still fun when you did it.
Fuck it.
So yeah, man, quick little story. My freshman year of high school, I worked at a grocery store that had one of those quarter machines with bouncy mm-hmm. balls in it. So you got to put a quarter in, get a bouncy ball. I used to put dollars in there and get eight, 12 bouncy balls.
So approximately $2 to $3.
Yes. Which what I said was accurate.
True.
More than $1.
Yeah, correct.
And I would take them to school. And I would give them to my friends. So we'd all be playing bouncy balls together. And then, in about a couple of weeks, because we lived in such a small school, everybody had fucking bouncy balls. And we played with them all throughout the entire high school. It was a blast.
That does sound cool. That does sound very cool.
Mm-hmm.
You basically had a gang of bouncy ballers.
That's right. But it was the whole school.
And I like that. Mm-hmm. That is cool.
Well, pretty much all the dudes. Maybe some of the girls.
But Legos, man. Unleashing childhood imagination.
Hey, I'm not comparing. I'm just saying that's my number one. You can have your number one.
Well, I mean, that's fine. Mine is correct, though.
I'm going to punch you so hard.
So God. To review, my top five, the G.I. Joe, specifically Snake Eyes. Number four, stuffed animals, specifically mine that no one else will ever see because I've ruined it to the point of a pile of dust. Number three, Nerf guns, specifically Eagle Eye.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, Matchbox cars, specifically the one that brings me joy still as an adult. Number one, Legos, bitches.
My number five was a sit and spin. And then vomit. And then vomit if you're Steve. And my number four was the Super Soakers. My number three was the the Beanie Baby Wrestlers. My number two was that, you know, the Velcro darts and the Velcro shield. And my number one is bouncy balls, motherfucker.
Motherfucker bouncy balls.
Come on, man.
Thank you guys so much for listening to our first podcast here on oneofus.net. Please, as I mentioned before, check out our 60-plus podcasts on 5play.net. Go through our archives. We've got some fun stuff back there. If you have any top fives you'd like to hear us do in the future, or if you'd like to write in your top five favorite toys from your childhood, we would love to hear those from you, because God knows there's a bunch of toys we missed. And an honorable mention real quick, just on parting shot, Stretch Armstrong.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
It was, you know what, he's cooler in thought than actual practice.
Yeah.
But I just like Stretch Armstrong.
He's cool until, like, you know, the sixth time you stretch him and then it tears.
Yeah, that part's less fun.
But you can leave a comment here on oneofus.net's page here. You can leave a comment on 5play.net's page. You can email us at 5playnet@gmail.com. And guys, if you're on 5play.net, check out oneofus.net's podcast selection. They have a crazy amount over there, and they are all super fun. If you're on oneofus.net, check out 5play.net's other podcasts. As we mentioned before, the Netflix review, Failure to Launch, will be coming out, I think, this Tuesday.
And we've got a bunch of previous gems on there, like Deathstalker.
I don't want to hear that name ever again.
And some other real gems on there. So we've got some other fun things for you on that website as well. So please just hop on over, check it out, see if it's for you. But Facebook, Twitter, they're right around the corner. They're coming right up.
Yep.
So thank you guys very, very much for listening. And as always, I'm Steve.
I'm Wes.
That was 5.
And we're out!